Okay, so at the Tikkun conference, I have to just say that the whole theme of the conference was restoration, and the whole message at the conference, every speaker spoke on evangelism or sharing the word of God. So Patty Juster got up and gave this word, and it impressed me so much, and I kind of had a vision. No, I didn't kind of. I had a vision. I was on the floor. In the days of the Lord shaking, we need to go deeper to pick up the torch of the Lord. The core issue of this torch is God's true love. When you first fall in love, you can't wait for the next time you can be with that person. You want to talk about them everywhere you go. Change your life to the used to's to the I do's. Yeshua has not yet begun to release to you the full extent of his love. The bride awakens with his love when you don't spend every moment of your time with your heart. When you do spend every moment of your time with your heart in him, get up and shine, shake off the condemnation, and do what he desires you to do. Now, as Patty spoke, I had a vision of a giant body on a stretcher, looking as if it were dead and showing on machines that the heartbeat was stopped, that it had heart failure. And the Lord showed me that this failure was due that this failure of the heart was because it was sick from lack of true love. And then I saw two giant hands holding two giant EKG Elijah cardiogram paddles. That's what he showed me. Holy Spirit paddles, one paddle representing the Holy Spirit to the Jew and one paddle representing the Holy Spirit to the Gentile. On the stretcher or the table, there was one body. These hands holding the paddles were coming down out of heaven and applying an unmeasurable jolt. Immediately when the jolt was applied to the heart of the body, the eyes on the body opened wide and the body jumped off the table full of energy, power, the Holy Spirit, to give us ability to move in any direction the Holy Spirit desires to send us. It is as if while on the table, they saw in their near-death experience the fire in Yeshua's eyes and realized this fire was his passion, burning desire for the same fire to be in our eyes for him, each other, and those who are not found yet. The fire in his eyes are the body as one in him, filled with his complete love, his pure, unselfish love, where he was ready to die for, so are we. Nothing, no one can hinder the way of this true, sincere, pure love. Then he showed me in a picture of Ruth laying at Boaz's feet that this Holy Spirit power comes by us individually giving our lives as Ruth did and laying at Yeshua's beautiful feet, always waiting for him to say, "Who are you?" And you can answer as Ruth did, say, "I am your name, your handmaiden, your servant." In this, our Father is no respecter of persons. Men and women are included. Spread your skirt, your train, your word over me, your servant. You are the kinsman redeemer. And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. You have showed more kindness in the latter end." That's very important. "Than at the beginning. And inasmuch as you didn't follow young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to you all you require. All the people of my city know you are a virtuous woman." Then the kinsman redeemer does his part and legally gets the ones he is to redeem, Naomi, Ruth, and their land. The friend of beauty and pleasantness marries the redeemer and takes back the possession of the land of Avimelech, our father, the king. The Lord desires and longs for just as we do, his first love. It's coming and is here now. And as we lay at his beautiful feet, the Lord's desires in this hour, in this generation, our full attention, intimacy with him, every moment of our heartbeats. No one else can do this but you. He is the kinsman redeemer. Receive the inheritance of the king, his pleasant land redeemed, the souls of the Jew and the Gentile as one in him. Go with his flow and share your inheritance with others, as Naomi did to Ruth, Ruth to Naomi, and Boaz to Ruth. The friend of pleasantness marries the strength and the joy of Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, and the Lord becomes our strength. Remember what Yeshua said, go preach the kingdom of heaven. It is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Bo Ruach Elohim. And I just wanted to say, for that thing that happened in Florida and the thing that happened in Tel Aviv a few days ago, they need to know God's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So I say, Bo Ruach Elohim. I live in Israel, but you send me back and forth. And Lord, wherever you want your righteousness, peace, and joy to be known throughout this land, let us be the vessel of it. In Yeshua's name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Ava. Yes, Ava and her husband actually live in Arad, Israel. And you're part of George and Rivka's congregation, is that correct, Ava? You're part of George's congregation, Witten? Huh?
And others.
And others, okay, great. All right, let's welcome Randy for our offering. Randy's going to receive our
offering. And they're exploring it, and they found someone living on it. And they're like, wow. And that goes, oh, my gosh, you found me. I'm so excited. I've been here for 10 years, and I've been trying to get off this island. I've been so worried I'd never get back. Can you take me home? And they said, sure. Gosh, how did you survive for 10 years on this island? Can you show us? And, okay, sure. So he takes them around, and he goes, here's where I would fish, and here's where I grabbed gathered food and fruit, and this is where I raised some crops, and wow, well, where did you live? And he says, well, let me show you. And so he takes him up this hill, and there are three large huts on this hill. And so he takes him into the first hut, and he says, this is my home. And he went, wow, this is a beautiful home, really nice, you know, and they're real impressed. And so then they said, well, what's the second hut? He goes, oh, well, let me show you. This is my church. I'm a Christian, and this is where I worshiped. So he takes them in there, and they look around. And go, wow, this is really cool. It looks like a church. It's really neat. So then he says, okay, well, let's go. And so let's go back down the hill. And they go, whoa, wait a minute. You didn't show us the third hut. What's the third hut? He goes, oh, that's the church I used to belong to. That's fun, isn't it? Well, I want to talk with us today about the breath of God. And I've subtitled this, How to Soar Like the Eagle. Anybody like to soar like the eagle? Yeah, amen. I know we all would. So where do we first see this word, the breath of God? We find it at the very beginning in Genesis, where we read, then the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and did what? He breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and the man became a living being. How many of you know that was more than just air? Okay, he breathed the breath of life, and he became a living being. We also see in Psalm 104, and this is the Passion Translation. You fly upon the wings of the wind. You make your messengers into winds of the Spirit, and all your ministers become flames of fire. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask you today to help us to glean those eternal truths from your word that you wish for us to see this morning, to help us to learn more about who you are, who you want us to be, and how we're to walk out our lives in your kingdom on this earth. Lord, we thank you for your word. It's an eternal word. We thank you that we can hold it in our hands. We can read it. We can meditate upon it. We can live by it, and it's life to us, O God. But Lord, we also thank you for your Holy Spirit that breathes that life into us and gives us new life and life that's full of life, if I can say that. Thank you, Father. God, help us this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The words breath, wind, and spirit are often interchanged. We're going to see that more as I go along here. So if we want to fly like the eagle, let me just show you what that might look like. Okay, anybody like to watch eagles? Any eagle lovers in here? Okay, let's see what the eagles look like here. You might have to start it up there. Let me see if it'll start. Oh, nope, go back. Go back. Okay. Alex, you might have to just hit it to get it going there. Nope, it's the other one. Yeah. There we go. Alex, I mean, you can do the next one next. Now here's a little different eagle, okay? It's a golden eagle, not a bald eagle, but watch this guy. By the way, no animals were hurt in this. Okay, so we might ask the question, why? In the first video, the eagle was gathering a fish, right? You know, which is what they do naturally. Why the goat? You know? And what happened when he grabbed the goat? It wasn't a very pretty picture, was it? Huh? No. Well, what I want to suggest to you is that we can try to grab hold of things that God never intended us to grab hold of. And they'll keep us anchored to the ground. They'll keep us from flying like the eagle. Let me share with you Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, verses that are familiar to us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the glory set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The author of the Passion Translation takes that first part of this and translates it this way. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Wow. Does that keep us from soaring like the eagle? The wounds that we carry, the hurts that we live with, that we can't surrender to the Lord, that we can't allow God to heal. We don't allow God to heal, excuse me. And they will keep us earthbound instead of flying like that eagle. Last week, if you didn't hear Fred's message, I can't encourage you enough to listen to it on breaking down the walls. It was fabulous. And also what he led us through following it in an exercise of doing that was awesome. And so we need to let go of every wound that has pierced us. And the sin, notice it's not sins, but sin we so easily fall into. What might that sin be if we were thinking of a sin, the sin, one sin, that we, all of us, can so easily, notice the author says, easily fall into. Easily. Offense, okay. Addiction, okay. Unforgiveness, okay, all of those are true. Anybody else? Unbelief. I would like to suggest, yes, as Doris has just said, that the sin is unbelief, okay? If we believe that God can heal us from our addictions, we can get set free. If we believe that God can use us to forgive somebody or receive forgiveness, we can offer forgiveness, yes? So the biggest thing, the root sin that we all have to deal with, that we've always had to deal with, because when we came to Christ, we came out of what? Unbelief. We said, Lord, I believe. I believe. I believe in Jesus, yes. So what can happen is, is that we can allow these things to weigh us down, and like the eagle who is trying to grab that goat, we get smashed into the rocks, don't we? And we don't soar like the eagle in that first video. That was just so beautiful, wasn't it? Him soaring majestically. Okay? So again, going back to the author here in... let me just read it again from the NIV. Therefore, since we are surrounded, okay, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Do you believe that? We are surrounded. Right here, right now, every day, everywhere. You and I, we are surrounded. Let us throw off anything that hinders. And he's talking about running a race. In that day and age, you know, Paul, we don't know who wrote Hebrews exactly, but the authors of the New Testament, Paul and the others, would have been familiar with the Greek, what? Games, right, what we call today the Olympics, which are about to begin. In fact, there he is. You're going to be there in a couple of months, yes? Your brother, wrong one, sorry. One of the Russell brothers will be there in Rio de Janeiro with the U.S. Olympic team, the volleyball. Fred, you're going to be there too? Oh, and Special Olympics today. Okay, there we go. That's where Nick is. Yes, all right. So those games began in ancient Greece, and the writers of the New Testament were familiar with those games. And when they're talking about running a race, they're picturing runners running. Now, those guys in those days ran how? Naked, yeah. We'll leave it at that. I didn't put a picture up here, okay? So just leave it at that. But the reason was not because, well, partly because Adidas hadn't been created yet, or Under Armour and any of the other groups there that make billions of dollars on their clothing sales. But the other reason was because they didn't want to be what? Hindered, encumbered. Yeah, in fact, one of the early mile runners, one of the, I can't remember which one it was now, but one of the guys that wasn't Roger Bannister, but it was one of the ones that was a world champion, he took off his socks because he, actually I said a mile, it was a marathon runner. He took off his socks because he figured that in running 26 miles, the weight of those socks, like that 4 ounces, if you multiply that over 26 miles, that was X number more pounds that he was carrying. So he started the practice that most marathoners use today of not wearing socks. He didn't want to be encumbered, you see? Yeah, amazing when you think about it, isn't it? So, what are you carrying? What are you carrying? What are we carrying that keeps us from soaring, that keeps us from allowing the wind of the Holy Spirit to lift us up like those eagles? Again, going back to the writers of both the Old and New Testament, living in that part of the world, they would have seen eagles, not bald eagles, but probably golden eagles and other types of eagles. What was causing those eagles to soar high above the ground? Well, even the thermals. Thank you. Back, Ava in the back, because you've probably even seen it there. It's the warm air thermals. They're like an invisible column of warm air rising up. And the eagles just sit on top of those and just soar for hours and hours and hours. So, don't we want to do that? Huh? Yes. We want to rid ourselves of whatever is keeping us from soaring like the eagle. Now, let's look with me at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And I want to read from the Passion. I keep reading from the Passion. Why do I read from the Passion? I'm passionate about it. Why? What is it? What is it about? All right. The Passion is a new translation. And the translator has done this. Okay, we know that the Old Testament was written in what? Hebrew. New Testament in Greek. Okay. But what was the language of the day that Jesus' disciples, Paul, everyone else spoke? Aramaic. So this translator has taken the fact, just think of Jesus, for example, his words, or Paul's words, we're going to be either or John as the disciple. He's a Jewish person living in a Greek culture speaking Aramaic. right? So he's taking all three of these into account as he translates the scripture, okay? In other words, what would a Jewish person think of about this? If he spoke the word in Aramaic and you were writing it down in Greek, how would you say it? Okay, do you follow me? Okay, it's like we say, we greet somebody, say, hey, how you doing there? You know, how's it going? How's it going, Baltimore? How's it going? You know, so everybody says on the streets in Baltimore, how's it going? If I'm in Indonesia, I say, good morning, or apa kabar, how you doing? But if I want to really connect with somebody, especially an Achenese person, I say, puhaba. And they go, oh, now you're speaking my language. Okay, so we want to say hello, okay? In an Indonesian culture where apa kabar is the word, but I want to translate it into Achenese because that's the language that we want to use to translate it. So we say puhaba. See? Okay? So that's a lot to just read a passage, but anyway. Oh, Lord, help me. Okay. Chapter 3 of John, beginning with verse 1. Now there was a prominent religious leader among the Jews named Nicodemus, who was part of the sect called the Separated Ones, and a member of the Jewish ruling council. One night he discreetly came to Jesus and said, Master, you know that you are a teacher from God, for we know that you are a teacher for God, for no one performs the miracles, signs, and miracles and signs that you do unless God's power is with him. And Jesus answered, Nicodemus, listen to this eternal truth. You can perceive the kingdom realm of God, but you first must experience a rebirth. Nicodemus said, or asked, rebirth? How can a gray-haired man be reborn? It's impossible for a man to go back into the womb a second time and be reborn. Jesus answered, I speak an eternal truth. Unless you are born of water and spirit wind, ooh, you will never enter the kingdom realm of God. For the natural realm can only give birth to things that are natural, but the spiritual realm gives birth to supernatural life. You shouldn't be amazed by my statement. You must be born from above. For the wind, the spirit wind blows as it chooses. You can hear its sound, but you don't know where it came from or where it's going. So it is within the hearts of those who are spirit born. Wow. The spirit wind. What is that talking about there? Well, let me just give you a few insights from the author of the Passion. First of all, when he says you must be born from above, a common poetic form of Hebraic teaching is to use a play on words, which Jesus utilizes in this poetic masterpiece, with multiple words containing dual meanings. The word reborn can also be translated born from above. The word for below can also be translated breathe. The word sound can also be translated voice. And the same word for spirit can also mean wind. How about that? So if our new birth is so mysterious, how much more will be the ways of living each moment by moment of the Holy Spirit? You can then understand why Nicodemus was so confused, for he took everything at face value and couldn't see a deeper meaning. Let me share with you just a little more here. Bear with me. It's really good. The Spirit moves as he chooses, and you hear his voice, but you don't know where he came from and where he goes. The Aramaic is so rich and multi-layered in this passage. Perhaps it could be paraphrased as, quote, the wind, the breath, and the spirit are moved by mysterious moods and their own wonderful ways. When you feel their touch and hear their voices, you know they are real, but you don't understand how they flow and move over the earth. In the same mysterious way, so is the way of everyone who is born by breath, wind, and spirit. Born by breath, wind, and spirit. Yeah. That's what the Lord wants for us, doesn't he? Yeah. breath, wind, and spirit. Breath, wind, and spirit. How many of you like to go sailing? Any sailors in here? We've got a few, okay. How many of you like to go out on a powerboat? Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, I got a few. Raise your hand, Bob. Everybody. All right. So there's a big difference, isn't there? Okay, in a powerboat, put gas in the tank, start the engine, you're in control, right? Go as fast as you want, wherever you want. As long as you got gas, you get there, right? Yeah. So you are in control. How about with a sailboat? That's right. You're totally dependent upon the wind, aren't you? You're not going to move an inch if the wind's not blowing. When I graduated from the academy, I taught sailing the first summer after I graduated, and the only reason I took that assignment was because it gave me an earlier class for my flight training. I went in September, and I otherwise might not have gone until like January. So I volunteered for it. Now, I have to confess, when I was there, those 4 years, we learned sailing our first summer that we were there, and then I didn't sail again. I thought sailing was for sissies. honest engine. And I was dead wrong, okay? I had never had so much fun in my life. And in fact, I'd come home and say to Linda every day, I'd say, wow, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this. This is amazing. I take these guys out sailing on a 49-foot yawl. And we'd go out in the Chesapeake Bay, put up all of our sail, 225 square feet of sail, and we were tacking down the bay. It was wonderful. It was just so exhilarating. And just a rich experience, which I regretted that I didn't take advantage of while we were there. But we also could take these boats out on the weekend with our friends. And so Linda and I invited some of our friends to join us, and we went out. And we got down the bay, and sometimes it happens frequently in the bay. In the middle of the afternoon, the wind stops. So we're way down the Chesapeake Bay, and the wind dies. And we're just kind of rocking. And the boat that I always had was named the Dandy, Randy Nandy. And the motor, the engine, it had a big inboard engine, but it never worked. In fact, I got really, really good, honestly. Now, this is I got really good at when you pulled it into the dock and there's a slip, what you had to do is sail it in under the wind and then drop the sails at just the right time so that you would coast into the slip. If you dropped them too early, you'd stop before the slip and just be sitting there looking. Oh, there's the slip. Here we are. If you dropped them too late, you'd go crashing into the seawall, you know, so you had to time it just right. And I actually got pretty good at that. But here we are. Motor doesn't work. No wind. We didn't get back till like midnight, you know. Yeah. So you're not going anywhere without the wind. But if you have the wind, it can make a big difference. Sorry, I just lost my place here. God wants us to catch the wind. He wants us to catch the wind. So what do we have to do? Well, first, we have to get into the boat, okay? Yeah, number one, forgive me for being so simple, so simplistic, but the first thing we have to do is we have to get into the boat, yeah. And how do we get into the boat? Well, it's just what Jesus said to Nicodemus. We have to be what? Born again. We have to be born by the Spirit of God, and then we can get into the boat. Yeah, we have to get into the boat. And certainly that's a decision we make when we come to faith. And if there's anyone here this morning and hasn't made that decision, this is a great time to make that decision. I've never, ever, ever regretted getting into the boat. It's the best decision I ever made in my whole life. Second best was marrying Linda. No, okay. Maybe I should have said that was the first, but I don't know. Anyway, okay, I'll deal with that one later. Well, actually, I made the boat decision before the marriage decision. So, all right. So you get into the boat, all right? Now, but even though that's a decision we make when we cross that bridge of faith, isn't it a decision we have to make every day? every day, I'm going to get into the boat. I mean, yeah. I mean, we can say, I mean, anybody ever gotten mad at God? You know, yeah, okay. A few honest people here this morning, okay? Yeah. I mean, we can say, okay, Lord, I believe in you. I know that you're God and ruler of the universe. I love you, but I'm not getting in the boat today. I'm sorry. I'm going to stay on the shore. Yeah. It can be risky getting in the boat, yes? Yeah. Well, because the next thing you have to do, if you got to do, you got to do what? Hoist your sails. You can get in the boat and just sit there. Oh, this is great. Nice sailboat. Really, I think I'll make myself a cup of coffee. You're just sitting here. You're not moving. You know? That's right. You got to cast off and you got to hoist those sails if you're going to sail. Yeah. You got to hoist the sails. And sometimes, again, we might get into the boat, but we'll say, ah, God, I'm not going to raise the sail today. I just want to sit here. And then we say, Lord, how come you didn't move in my life? How come you didn't operate in this situation? And, you know, it's, oh, forgive me, because I've told this story too many times before, but I just got to tell it again. It reminds me of the man who, he was an, we're all getting older, so I better be careful here. But anyway, he was up in years. He was a seasoned man. And the flood rivers were rising. The waters were flooding the area. And so they came to him. They came all around the neighborhood, and they're knocking on the door. You know, sir, you need to leave your house. The flood is coming, and you're going to drown. He goes, I believe in God, and he's going to take care of me. I'm not worried. They said, sir, you need to leave. No. Okay, sir. They left. So the waters start to rise. He's on the second floor of his house. The guy comes in one of those rubber boats, you know. Sir, knocking on his window. Sir, you know, is anybody here? Sir, you need to come with us. The floodwaters are rising. You're going to drown. He goes, hey, I'm okay. God's going to take care of me. No, sir, please. We know God's going to take care of you. Just come with us. I'm fine. So a few days later, he's on his roof. And a helicopter comes.
Sir, would you please clear the harness there, and we're going to lift you up and rescue you from the roof of your house.
No, not necessary. I'm fine. God's going to protect me. He's going to save me.
Sir, please grab the harness.
Nope, I'm fine. The helicopter flies off. Flood waters rise. He drowns. God drowns. He gets to heaven. He says, God, I believed in you. I thought you were going to save me. God says, well, I sent somebody in a truck to pick you up. I sent somebody in a raft to pick you up. And I sent somebody in a helicopter to pick you up. Why didn't you respond to them, you know? So once we're in the boat, we have to do what? We got to raise, thank you, Danielle. We got to hoist the sails. Yes. All right. And then once we've hoisted those sails, we've got to do what? Catch the wind. Now, as the author wrote, and as the author of the Passion Translation further elaborated, the wind blows wherever it will, doesn't it? Jesus said that. We don't always know. It's not fickle, but we don't know because we're not who? God. I think sometimes we like to think we are, but just in case somebody forgot, we are not, okay? We're not God, okay? Just settle that one, okay? So we sometimes don't know where the wind's blowing. It'll blow in ways in which we're not expecting, will it? Huh? Yeah. So, I mean, even this weekend, Lynn and I had this experience. We're at this bed and breakfast, And Linda's interacting with the wife, the owner's wife, the owner, the husband and wife are the owners. And so Linda, you know, in her wonderful way, says, well, how did you get involved with bed and breakfast? She said, well, my husband was close to burnout, and we were sent away to a bed and breakfast to get away and just recover and have some R&R. And we said, wow, we really like this, and maybe one day we'll do one ourselves. So, and they were wonderful host and hostess. So then she left. And so I said, Linda, ask her what it was that burned them out. I said, probably a burnt out pastor. And we both laughed, you know. So she comes back. And so Linda says, well, what was it? What was it that caused you all to be burned out? She goes, oh, my husband was a pastor. He was in the ministry. Honest. was so funny. Yeah, yeah. Well, it was sad in that sense, but it was wonderful in the sense they actually began their walk with God through Campus Crusade. We're on staff for about 10 years. In fact, we're involved in the Ukraine with the Jesus film back in the early 90s, seeing people come to Christ. Yeah, so they really see this as a ministry, and they're reaching a lot of people this way. It's pretty exciting, really. But it was just really funny. So, all right, so what did I say? You got to catch the wind, right? Okay, so the wind can take you places that you may not think you were going to go. Yes? How many agree with that? Yes. All right. All right, so we need to get in the boat. We need to hoist our sails. And we need to be prepared to tack when necessary. What is tacking? Anybody know what tacking is? Yeah, that's right. This boat in the picture here has its spinnaker up. Okay, the spinnaker, beautiful sail, very light in weight, and you run with the wind. Okay, the wind's behind you. You run with it. Usually when you're sailing, it's like an airplane. You fly into the wind. You sail into the wind. So you're tacking back and forth, catching the wind. And if it's blowing strongly, you're moving very rapidly. It's a lot of fun. So you need to be able to tack, though, to turn, because sometimes the Holy Spirit will take you one direction, and what will happen? It'll change, okay? And if you're still going this direction, you know, and God's way over here, and you're going, oh, whoops, I missed it. I missed that turn, okay? So you have to tack with the Holy Spirit. Move with the Spirit of God. And lastly, enjoy your ride. Yeah, enjoy your ride. Life is designed by God to be enjoyed. He wants us to enjoy the ride. How many of you want to enjoy the ride, huh? Yeah, yeah. He says, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Okay, enjoy it. Enjoy it. There's a lot that we can face on this earth and deal with and enjoy and embrace, but there's more to come, right? Yeah, more to come. So, Chris, you upstaged me this morning with your song. Bless you, my brother. Wind of the Spirit. I didn't know you were going to do that, but we're going to do it again. Yeah. So, the words of this song encourage us to do what? Ride the wind. Ride the wind of the Spirit. See? So, as we sing this and as we worship with this, think about this. We've got to get into the boat. We've got to hoist our sails. We must catch the wind. When necessary, we need to tack, and we need to enjoy the ride as we ride on the wind of the Spirit. All right, stand with me if you would, please. And Alex, can you run the video there for me, brother?
Lord, let the wind of your Holy Spirit come forth.
When the wind of the Spirit blows, warrior, come on and ride the wind. When the wind of the Spirit blows, warrior, come on and ride the wind. When the wind of the Spirit blows, warrior, come on and ride the wind. When the wind of the Spirit blows, warrior, come on and ride the wind. When the
man, but the Spirit of God rose up in him, and Goliath fell at his hand. When the wind of the Spirit
says the anointing makes you bold. When David faced the enemy, he didn't listen to the words of man, but the Spirit of God rose up in him, and Goliath fell at his head. When the wind of the Spirit blows, warrior, come on and ride the wind. When the wind of the Spirit blows, warrior,
Randy's sign-up list is in the foyer for sailing today, just to let you all know. Great, great breeze today. Come on. Thank you, Randy. Marvelous, awesome talk, as usual. So, okay, guys, you got your assignment. Go sailing.